What is up, Jabroniacs? It's me, your boy, Adani Dirt Sheets. Bing, 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 bing. I just wanted to say a quick word before this episode. This is a free preview of one of our Patreon episodes that I wanted to get out to you guys so you could see kind of what we're doing behind the Patreon paywall. Maybe consider supporting the podcast over at patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. This is a hangout we did right after AEW Full Gear went off the air. Me and Tulo recorded our post pay-per-view reaction pod, and we did it on Zoom with the patrons who wanted to jump on, and they were able to cash in, ask us questions, and it was a great time. This is just an example of the innovation that we're always doing here on Cow Podcast, always pushing it to the next level, and your support will help us get even further. So check us out. If you want to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes that are AEW NXT-centric focused, and also get access to our similar feature, our monthly Cow Zoom Thunderdome Hangout, where we watch wrestling together. This month, November 22nd, we'll be watching Survivor Series as a group, and it's a really good time. So consider supporting the podcast. We do it all ourselves. Like I always say, we're grassroots. If you already support the podcast, I thank you so much. We are free from any influence of a network. We do this ourselves, so consider supporting this podcast. Give us a couple bucks. patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. All right, kisses. Lime, duh. All right, what up, everybody? I hope you're in full gear. Yeah. Okay. Full gear 2020 in the books. You're beautiful on the inside. Oh, man. It's got to be fun to sing it with the crowd there. That's worth the trip. I got to go. I gotta go. What up? Welcome to the Comedians Wrestling post Full Gear live pod. We're right now in beta test mode. We got a couple of patrons in the Zoom chat with us listening along, and they have the ability to cash in by throwing up the cow sign. And if there's something they want to say, throw it up and let me know, or hit me in the chat. But I'm here with the Super Mark, Nick Tulo, the Markitect, the holder of the Cow Money in the Bank briefcase, who doesn't have the balls to cash in. Nick Tulo, what up? Letting a little virus stop him from his destiny. Can you believe that?
Nothing. Hey, man, it's
clearly not a Republican. Okay,
Biden's president now, so I'll be booking my flight out there real soon.
President elect. Okay, president. I had to Google today if it's dash elect. You know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it turns out it is. Many would say it is. Anyway, so we're talking about Full Gear. We're here. We just watched the show. I mean, look, one thing I'm going to not talk about is the cost of the show, because it's where my brain always goes.
That was the first question I was going to ask you, because how we left off on the electrical was – you always wonder if it was worth the $50.
Well, I don't do that. I don't care about the cost of it. First off, it's a business expense, okay, for me. It's a business expense. And also, like I said, I'm a guy who took WCW for granted. I'm extremely happy to overpay. I'm more talking about, is this the optimal price point for this in terms of people buying it? You know what I'm saying? Because you can – All right, I'm a married guy, right? So, like, you know, in pre-COVID era, which I hope happens again, you know, we have life is a thing again. My wife will be like, let's go to the movie. If the pay-per-view is on, I'll be like, I could go spend $50, go to the movies with my wife, and then come back. I could watch it illegally for free, and it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, now, I don't like doing that because that's stealing wrestling, especially for the smaller company. I like to support it. Now, smaller company, we say that. This is a company that's owned by a billionaire.
Yeah.
Literally owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, you know, I don't know. Could a bit of a Cry Me a River situation. But at the same time, I still like to support all the wrestlers, right? Because we know if they're not doing well, that'll trickle down to the bottom and they'll fire wrestlers because the world is unfair. Okay. But so in terms of that, Tulo, would you say that show was worth $50?
Nah.
Yeah, I mean, I
to me, no, it was just sloppy. It was just all over the place. You never found, like, when you got into it, you never found the time where, like, to get back into it. It was just all over the place. It was just weird. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I
don't know.
I agree with you. I think that's kind of what I was thinking about. Again, like, I wasn't at all like, oh, I'm so pissed I paid for this, again, for the reason I said. But I felt a little for $50. That did, you know, it was weird because it was like a $50 show, but then they also were like previewing Dynamite during the show. Yeah. There were like things that happened that made it not feel – it didn't feel special. You know?
Well, you know what I thought of? There's a couple things. One was these pay-per-views are
good for you.
This guy's got a lot of points. I mean,
these pay-per-views are so far apart that there's no reason why, if a pay-per-view is this far apart, that matches should be added to the pay-per-views like a week before or the week of or 2 weeks before. It's just like that Orange Cassidy John Silver match, no business being on. Matt Hardy.
Why was that not Sammy pre-show? Guevara. I mean, they could have put two matches on the pre-show, easy, right?
Yeah.
Somebody who's in the chat. I want to know how you feel about the cost of this show. If okay, Josh Timperley, all the way from across the pond, Daddy. What's up, dude, Josh?
I just think it's crazy how much it is, because, like, if you think, I think the problem is with it as well is that the WWE Network for $9.99 offers every pay-per-view and all that extra content as well. When you're putting that up against a pay-per-view that you're doing, like, what, even if it is every 3 months, $50 or like the equivalent in my money, that's crazy pricing. I just think it's too expensive. I think it's like I think you can get it online for £25.
But, quid?
Yeah. Yeah, quid, yeah.
I say this all the time. I say it on the Facebook group all the time. You get a VPN, you pretend you're in the UK, you get it for $20.
That's the smooth operator, Phil Pesapani.
Criminal
operator. All right, guys, I'm muting both of you, and I'll bring you back in. If you want to come in, just throw the if you think we're talking about something and you got something you want to cash in, your cow sign is the Money in the Bank briefcase, so you can cash in. All right, so here's what I say. So okay. But that being said, the show was definitely sloppy. But Tulo, did you enjoy the show? Did you not enjoy the show? Did you think it was a snooze? I have your text to prove. So don't lie to the people.
I just really had a problem with the way they booked it, because I knew that's how they were going to do it. But I just had a problem with it because you start off with Hangman and you start off with Kenny. And it's just like everything after that is going to be doomed to follow that. There's nothing they could do. So then you go to Orange Cassidy and John Silver, and it's like you're building your way back up to the next match. And there was nothing in that middle part of that card that was just like, and then you finally got to the tag match and you're like, all right, this is cool. But you were just already drawn out by four or five matches in between it. Just too many matches. The length of it tires you out. It just like drains you.
The Facebook chat, everybody seemed really tired. Felt tired,
like,
watching it.
10:30 came around. I know Emily was.
You guys were. People were tired, but I will say this. It's not even 9 p.m. for me.
Yeah.
It's the best thing about moving to California. I remember as a kid thinking, like, these people on the West Coast, like, they watch stuff at, like, 4 p.m.? What is that? And now I live in the West Coast, and I'm like, yes, it starts at 4 p.m. It's like the greatest. It is so great. It is like everything. I can't believe you have to wait till 8 p.m. to watch stuff. Like that, I'm sleeping at 8 p.m. Although right now I'm drinking coffee at 9 p.m., so I'll be up. Maybe I'll hit Full Gear again. Maybe I'll watch the Biden speech and Full Gear. I'll switch screens. I'll have them on a double rig. I'll switch the rig around. Many would say that would be a good idea, but here's the thing. All right, let's talk about the matches individually. I agree. The show is definitely sloppy. At times, I'll say this, it definitely felt like the sloppiest AEW card I'd seen. I definitely felt like forget about even sloppy. It felt like the least special AEW pay-per-view.
Every time, it was weird. Every time, every match came up, I was just like, why am I not interested in this? Like every single, like there were matches that I was interested in, and then all the ones that just came up, I was like, by the time we got to the Jericho MJF, I was just like, I don't even care. I don't care. I don't care if MJF gets into the inner circle right now. Like I'm just like, I was almost like at that point just waiting for Moxley versus Kingston and just to kind of like just get to it already.
I felt like this was the first show that I really felt, man, I need this crowd back like now. I'm starting to be like, I need the crowd, because I do think we would have cared about some of that stuff more. And wrestling with, like, pay-per-view wrestling without a crowd is a very, very tricky thing, I think. Because, like, it's not, especially if you're, unless you're like a crazy, I don't know, puts a lot of pressure to just do high-flying spots and then or tell, like, an epic story that translates without a crowd. But I imagine, and I'm not a pro wrestler, that makes it really difficult. If you are, like, what's a match that I was thinking about? Like, MJF and Jericho. That feels like, how could they ever make that match something you care about without a crowd? Because the stakes are, like, he gets in the inner circle, so the crowd's like, oh, he's going to be in the inner circle. They have to sell all that. And they're not, like, too high-flying guys. They're not, like, insanely athletic dudes. So then, you know? I don't know. So anyway, okay. So let's talk about the matches, but let's just go through the card. Whatever. Serena Deeb, Allison Kay. I mean, I saw it, but I was watching that, you know, that they happened to, they got bumped for Biden. It happens. Got bumped for Biden, but,
good match though, displaying that they should be on the roster and that there's talent there that shows that there should be storylines given to the women. Like enough is enough. Like those two women just put on a match that was like easily, if there was any kind of build to it other than, I mean, the NWA title, now you got Thunder Rosa came back, so you have, like, this whole NWA, but the story's right there. Just tell it. Like, if you're going to use the NWA title involved in it, just tell it. But now it's, like, kind of – and then it's overshadowing, like, your own title. I don't know. I just don't know.
It is really odd. It's like there's two women titles, but there's only two women matches. And the women's division needs so much work that you're like, why introduce another title? Their title even looks like a piece of crap. Like, I don't know. Their title, I can't get over still a year later. Like, she's wearing it. Like, she is wearing it. And I'm like, it's like not even the most eye-catching thing on her outfit, which is like, that's not what the title should be. The title should be like, when Moxley has that title, it's the only thing you see. It's like massive. It's a huge piece. It's like wearing a huge belt buckle, you know?
I think there's a super unique opportunity for I think that's why Sheeta kept it, is because they're going to go with Britt Baker next, and now it's that opportunity is to ride Britt Baker out like into Revolution, and then when she gets that title, she should 100% change it and make it something amazing, you know, something special that like is her style, and just usher in a new era of the women's division. Because if they don't do it now and we get to 2021 and we're going into Revolution with the same kind of, it won't happen with Britt Baker like involved, but like they need to do something ASAP, like quick, you know, like it has to start.
I was
now
thinking they should have like almost like, don't call it this, obviously, but some kind of diva search thing that gets time on Dynamite. You know, like some kind of like recruitment thing if they need more wrestlers. Anyway, Chris Knight, my dude, said the crowd was so loud tonight. I just wanted to point it out. That is a good point. They did do some dubbing with the crowd, right?
Not really sure.
Yeah. I just mean it's not necessarily that I couldn't hear the crowd. It's a constant empty seats. It felt like there were even more empty seats. It was more spaced out than even other times I've seen it. Like there'd be times where you see the wrestlers in the ring and then all the seats are empty. They can't get audience like in row 10, I don't know what, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it's a logistical thing. Okay. So they open the show with Kenny and Hangman. So I would say this. First thing I want to say is I thought major improvements to Kenny's entrance tonight. I thought that first off, they had way better dancers. They were way more professional dancers. Yeah, they were. It was like, if you're going to have dancers, you should know how to dance, right? I think
I actually thought these two girls messed up dancing more than the other girls that messed up. I thought there was a couple of missteps that were going on.
Am I wrong about that? Were they worse dancers?
I don't know.
But you guys, let me know in the chat. Were they worse dancers or better dancers?
I have a feeling with Revolution coming up, the way Kenny's like whole gimmick is going,
yeah,
that we're gonna get something special at Revolution for that when he faces. I'm assuming Moxley Kenny will be Revolution, right?
Yeah, but I'm still talking about Kenny's entrance because I care more about the minutiae than the booking. So listen, all right, actually, Emily, you might want to respond to what I'm going to say right now, okay? But, okay, Kenny has the female dancers. He doesn't acknowledge them at all in this weird way where I'm like, I'm kind of like, what is this? Is this I think you would have more women dancing to be more of us just have two. I find it really, really odd. And then he also, like, I don't know what his, I don't know if he's like, look at these talents I have. Like, I don't know. I kind of like lost with it. Like, it looked like he almost was going to ask for like cheek kisses when he got to them, but then he just walked through it. I don't know. I find it odd where I'm like, are these like, do they hang out with him or he just has dancers? Because if you have dancers, I think you'd want it to be more spectacular than just two. If it's two, then I would think it's like his entourage or something. I don't know. I find Kenny's just confusing me right now. But, right? Am I wrong or am I right? It's like a little, it's like, what? He doesn't feel like someone who hangs out with babes. So, I don't know, right? Like, if MJF came out with babes, you'd be like, all right, that's MJF. He like, I don't know. All right, I don't know, but
you said you were gonna ask Emily about it. So why
Emily,
you have Emily?
Emily, I'm unmuting you. Do you have any response to what I said? I was worried, you know, if I veer into shitty man territory,
no,
is what I
you're
meant.
Fine.
Okay, I like to be in check. You know,
oh, she'll let you know.
Would it be offensive if he kind of like gave them cheek kisses as he went by? Like, that's what I thought he was about to do.
No, I think that would be hilarious, actually.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't it be like ladies? Like ladies? Nice dancing? That's like something like that. I don't know. Yo, Adonis, what were you saying?
I was going to say, what I keep coming back to is that when the last time he had the two dancers, Patrick's sitting next to me and he's so excited because he's like, oh my God, they're doing the Running Man. Like, to him, he saw the beginning from the movie where the dancers performed before the show.
Right.
And it felt like a callback to a reference that was, so it wasn't, you know, swampy or weird or anything like that. It was kind of like, oh, this is like a wink to a particular, you know, pop culture reference.
Right.
I don't have any problem. I think it's fine. I think it's fun. It is not go-go dancers in the Raw Underground.
yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
No. They kind of wore like Jane Fonda gear or whatever a little bit. Like, and I was like, what is that? Yeah. Kenny's so confusing. You know.
He reminds me of you know what that reminds me of? Like, there was a wrestler in the Indies, Dalton Castle, that remember he had like the two guys with them and they
the
were
boys.
Just like. Yeah, the boys or whatever they were.
But that was really clear because he was like kind of, I think he was like a gay wrestler, right? It was kind of like a Freddie Mercury thing.
I'm not sure.
Am I wrong? Am I right? Like, you call them the boys. And I think it was, I don't know if they said it explicitly, but there was kind of an implication that like those are, I don't know. This is like Kenny, I don't know. Okay, I'm getting caught up in it. I loved the overhead cam. He looked up to the overhead cam and I thought they tweaked the music. That sounded good. It's like, he has more heel. They did the Shinsuke on it where they like put some rap on it. So it's like, yo, there's lyrics that makes it more, if there's lyrics, it's more evil, you know? I thought it was way more professional. I love the duster. I think the duster looked cool. I thought that looked cool. I think those pants are not great, though. Those are not great. Josh is shaking his head. His pants are not great. Like, it's your, you know, they're not great. Why is Kenny acting like he can only afford one pair of pants? I don't know why he can. This is the guy who called. He's like the best wrestler on the planet.
Yeah.
Why would you not like switch up your gear? Like, it's like you do something kind of what Ziggler does, like have like or wear like the same thing, but make it something good.
Did he leave it all in Japan? Is it all in Japan? Like, did he leave it all in Japan?
Stuck in customs. Yeah. That's
I mean,
a good point.
Where are his other pants? Remember those pants that had like the feather on it? They were like black with green.
Well, feather on, like, that's very Japanese. Like, I think that the Oscar has the feather also, right? I think, I don't know.
I mean, it's a pay-per-view. Like,
yeah. But that
being said, was a nice touch, but.
Okay, Hangman's pants are gorgeous, I think, by the way. I think you might not like that he's in pants. Fine. First off, he slimmed down a lot, Hangman.
Yeah.
He's looking nice. He's looking right. My man's looking right. And the thing about Hangman's pants, every time they zoom in on his pants, you see it's like that ornate sterling silver cowboy design. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
there's like a new feature about it that you didn't notice before. You're like, wow, look at that. Oh, on his knees, he's got something.
Yeah, he's got little ass tassels. I really like that. I thought the match was pretty good. It just had a weird, abrupt ending, I thought. Not the ending wasn't weird. I felt like they didn't, the timing wasn't like, here's the end, here's the finish.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. Kind of came out of nowhere. What are you laughing?
Donny Adonis is cracking up right now. Oh, man. Just remind me how ridiculous we really are when it really comes down to it. But so I did think that I love how the one winged angel, you can't kick out of it, right? So no one ever kicks out of it when you get it.
No, I thought we were getting it too.
But I love that they, instead of having it where there's like false finishes with it, they're really like, oh, he might get you into position. You know,
it's
always like that thing where you're on the top and you wiggle, mm-hmm. but he still might hit you with it. Like, there's almost like this cool lore of the move where it has three steps, you know? It's like the first step's just getting you on the shoulders, and then the second step is getting your head down, and that's the hard part. But once you're there, if he gets your locks in the neck, I'm sorry, it's good night for you. You're going back to Jabroni City, mid-card city.
You know what I realized? He doesn't do the at the end of the of his matches anymore. He doesn't do the good night, you know. And bang. Yeah.
Bang. Yeah.
Bang. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Kenny, I gotta tell you, tonight was the night. I was always thinking about when. So like this is the when they said this was the day Trump became president. Van Jones, I think, said that. That's got to haunt him. That never happened. No, but this was the night that Kenny Omega became my president. This was the night that Kenny Omega, I think, tonight I was all in on Kenny. I got to be honest. I had a good time watching Kenny. I thought he performed great in ring. He had a big win, came out in the end, set up a Moxley. He's going to be the heel in the Pace Bro. He's going to be the heel in that feud. So I thought I was into it. I was into Kenny tonight, and I like where Hangman's going. He was already, he was nervous coming in here. He has a nice character. He has some nice character building to go from here.
Well, now he's confused. He came out at the end of that Bucks and FTR match too. He's like lurking in the background in the thing, not sure what he should do. So we'll see.
Anyone want to say anything about that match? Anyone really dig it or really hate that match? Oh, Vespani, were you raising your hand, Phil? You got to do the cow. Oh, you came
I
late.
Was. I
do
was.
Do the cow sign. That's you.
Okay,
cash
all right, all right, all right.
Yeah. I thought you were saying goodbye.
That's I kind of have the total opposite. I've been on the
what,
camp.
You have the opposite opinion of me?
Yeah,
oh,
I do.
Good for you.
Damn, having a drop laid on me live, that kind of kind of stings. I kind of have the opposite.
Now you know how I feel. Now you know how I feel every fucking time, bro. 17 times a fucking episode.
Yeah, I've been in the I've been in the camp where I've been apologetic of Kenny for most of his AEW career.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that moment and I was expecting it tonight and it did not happen for me. Not happen.
Same.
And I could say it's going to happen at the next pay-per-view. At this point, I don't believe it's going to happen. I think he's just not that cool. And my girlfriend Georgia said the same thing. Like, Kenny just might not be that cool. And I think NJPW made him seem a lot cooler than he actually is.
Emily wants to. Emily's cashing it. By God, it's Emily Scott.
Yes, I like it. Instant rebuttal. Give it to her.
Go. What is it?
So my perspective, I had no context.
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Emily, go.
So I have like the opposite perspective in that I had no like context for Kenny before AEW. I didn't follow NJPW like that. So I literally turned and said, you know, to Patrick at one point, I'm like, I finally get, like, I get it. I get Kenny and that, like, he is, and I see, like, what people have been talking about. I thought this match was killer.
I agree, too. I just thought the ending, I thought they missed the finish, but I really enjoyed the match. And I also think opening show was a mistake with this match, which
big
we talked
time.
About, because I wished the whole show I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
You know? So...
I would say my thesis for this whole pay-per-view is that it's a lot like SNL in recent years in that great sketches and they just don't know how to end them. And I felt like that was a lot of the matches tonight.
Well, Emily, that's interesting. You said, as someone who's performed sketch, back in the dark times of 2019, I think was my last sketch a long time ago. You remember that. Ending sketch, it's known when you're writing sketch, it's known like ending sketch is the hardest thing to do, which is why you always just see kind of throwaway jokes at the end of sketch. It's just this weird thing that's extremely, extremely difficult.
You literally can look back at every single match that they had tonight and be like, they should have just ended it here. Like, they should have ended the Shida match after the Avalanche Falcon Arrow, which was sick. I mean,
they could have pulled a Biden. Phil brings up a great point, and Emily brings up frankly a better point. But I would say, I think you both bring up really good points. It's interesting to hear from someone who didn't see Kenny before. But Phil, there's no denying what Phil said. I think you both have great points. There's no denying what Phil said. Kenny is not as cool as we thought. And listen, when you're wrestling in another time zone, another country, in another language, you know, and most of it is your wrestling speaking for you, that's going to be what that is. But he really does himself no favors. I mean, he's not an incredible mic guy. He's not even working on mic. His commitment to mic is okay. We'll talk about commitment a little later in the show, but because I have a big thing to say. But at the same time, he shoots himself in the foot with things that remove you from caring about his character, like the video game shit. Like, they're literally like, he loves video games. That's like, I mean, like, that's the equivalent, right, of like saying someone's hobby when they're at work. Imagine you're like, all right, Greg, give the presentation. By the way, everybody, Greg, he likes to weave baskets sometimes, you know? Like, you're like, all right, well, fine, we sell stocks here or whatever we do. Why are you telling me that? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I get it. You like to play video games. Everybody likes to play fucking video games. But, you know, I like to play. It's very fun. But then when you come out like a fucking mark in a Street Fighter t-shirt when you're supposed to seem tough, then that sucks. It sucks. It's like, it's awful. And no one's telling
so
you.
Bad.
Then he comes out at the end of the show in little shorts. And you're like, at least he was shirtless. And he's looking right in the body. Oh my God. Philp has a body. He's cashing in. Hold on. Let me get the cash in noise. Okay. I need you to officially come in proper. I need you to come at me proper. Except I changed the soundboard.
Give me the, give me the fucking, the Vince. Oh, wall
paper. All right, look, we got oh, shit. I redid the soundboard. I gotta study it. I literally have to sit and study this thing. Oh my god. All right, Phil Passapani cashing in.
There's a lot of beef out here.
I forgot like half my point. That was way too long.
All right. Great job by Phil.
Ooh, nice one. Great point.
No, I remember it.
Okay.
All right. So the point is, in NJPW, Kenny was such this mysterious character, right? He came out in these like extravagant entrances and you were like, who is this guy? He's fucking incredible. And then he comes out in AW and you're like, fuck this guy. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing to him. He comes out in these like gym shorts, mm-hmm. and you're like, "What happened? Is that also, just because of NJPW?" Like,
he does a lot of like he thinks like saying inside jokes on the air is funny. Like, it's all it's like they need to. I wrote an email to myself today. I'll tell you guys this. I wrote myself a love letter in blood. Is that weird? Yeah. No, I wrote myself an email today. I'm like, I want to start a campaign on the podcast to get me hired for AEW. I think I can make that too. Company incredible. I would go in there and be like, Kenny, come here. You are the best bout machine. You really are.
What the fuck are you doing?
Take off that Street Fighter shirt before I rip it off of you. I'm going to take it off of you. Let's make you look fucking awesome. The reason you like these video games is because the characters in the video games look awesome. The characters, you don't see Zangief in a fucking Street Fighter t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, no. He's got a chest hair that's like, he's got, what does he have, like lightning chest hair? You know what I mean? Is it like Vega has fucking claws? He's not wearing a Kenny Omega t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? So wrestlers, that's the one thing they just don't. Oh, my God. Josh Timberley cashing in across the pond.
Zangief's one of my guys. That's it.
Zangief's one of your guys? All right. Well, even after the Russian interference with our election, oh, I forgot. You're not a patriot. I forgot. Oh, man. So, listen. Oh, man. I'm worked up. Oh, man. I think I could podcast. Well, I was going to say for 8 hours, and I've done
it's
that.
It's just really, it's, you know why? Because Phil talks about, all right, is it just a, you know, being in Japan thing? Is it just cooler like that? But, you know, he had his creative freedom over there too. And why is that not transitioning to having the creative freedom that he has here with AEW?
Do you remember when he blamed them for his entrance? He was like, they said they were going to do this. They didn't give me this thing for his entrance. And then he came out with that shit paper mache gun. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember when he came out with that paper mache gun? I mean, look at that compared to what Jay White is doing right now, who looks like a hot mill. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what switch. I don't get the whole switchblade thing, but
1 million.
Okay,
for every
I have to push through the card. One last thing I will say though about the Kenny match, his intro. I like him announcing he has 8 more years of experience than Cowboy. Like that's funny. That's a way to heal off is say have them announce specifically how he's better than his opponent. I don't think I've ever seen that. You know,
that's very interesting. I noticed that. On this pay-per-view too. I was like, oh shit, he's giving him facts over how he's better than Hangman.
Right.
I was like, I like that. That's actually pretty good.
Orange Cassidy versus John Silver. I mean, one thing I will say, I'm just going to say one thing about this match. John Silver sounds like a pirate name. I'll say that. First, I'll
looks
say
like
that.
A pirate.
Yeah. I want to look like that guy. Like he's a short, jack guy. He's jacked up. That guy.
That's his nickname in the indie circuit was Meat Man, and
was he's yoked.
And
he looks good.
He's from Long Island.
Yeah, I knew it.
Obviously, obviously.
All the greats are Foley, Billy Joel, Joey Buttafuoco, all the greats.
Weird place for that match. I never had a shot.
Darby Allin versus Cody Rhodes. I thought this match was really good. I like this match. It was a fucking good time. And I like Darby winning. I got to say, Darby Allin is so one of my guys. I made him one of my guys. I still don't know why he kind of got, Emily, maybe you know what he got in trouble for. He was like a bad boyfriend or something. Am I not supposed to like him? Do you know or no? Should we not talk about this? I don't know. But I'm saying, can I be a fan of Darby Allin? That's my question. Like, I'm always conflicted because I am one.
I mean, it's up to you.
Okay. I wasn't asking your permission. I said that wrong. Yeah, I just meant with the Velveteen Dream stuff is more clear, you know? With Darby, I don't know. I literally just don't know.
Do you know what, like with Jimmy Havoc, like what his whole thing was?
I'm happy to just I'm done with him. He's fired. I don't care about him.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's basically the same thing.
Right.
It's had an ex, and she's like, he was like abusive in lots of ways, and like right. It was very hard to get away from him, and now I am, and yeah. So,
okay.
I mean, I'm done with him, but
you're done with him. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna put this in a vacuum, and I guess I don't know, but he really gets it in so many ways, Darby Allin. You know, like he looks awesome. He acknowledges the fact that he's small and that he's not a conventional talent. And he's a really clear character. Like, you know, a lot of wrestlers are not clear. He literally had a promo before explaining why he has that face paint. It's based in something that really happened to him. He is small, but has he's like the new Foley in a way that I think when we think about who's Foley, like who's the new Foley, people are like, it's Kevin Owens, but it's like Kevin Owens is not doing what Foley does. Like Kevin Owens is like a strong fighter. He wins matches. Mm-hmm. He's like a champion. Foley didn't win. He would kind of lose up and take huge risks, and you'd like him for losing. Darby's taking risks in a completely different way, and he really feels extremely authentic while still wearing face paint, which when you think about Finn Balor, who was not able to pull that off at all, and for me, Sting never pulled that off either. I know a lot of people are Sting fans, but it just felt like he just had face paint, you know? You Crow Sting kind of worked because he was a little more mysterious. It was never – he was never one of my guys, but I understand if he is. But Ultimate Warrior, definitely one of my guys. Maybe my ultimate obviously. Guy. His face paint made total sense to me. Like, he was like He-Man or whatever, you know? But I just think Darby works. And also, like, he tells these stories in his matches. Like, you know he's going to get his ass kicked. And then they know, like, the way he's going to win is just by – it's going to be a stamina contest. He's going to exceed your expectations and eke out a win when you're tired. That's great. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so unique.
Or we'll come back to get him in the end where, like, he'll be so tired that you'll eke out the win over him, you know?
Right. You guys are all agreeing with me, it looks like, in the chat about Darby. I mean, the car looked awesome when he came out.
Yeah.
And then he smashed the window. I was like, this is a cool entrance. And then he smashed the window on top of it. He painted half the car, like, his face. Come on. This guy's awesome. And now he's the TNT champion, which is really cool. And the story being, I'm the face of TNT, but he's unconventional, really cool. The only problem for me is that Moxley's the unconventional champion. So you kind of have – I feel like you kind of have
– double unconventional.
Right? You have, like, this thing where you're like, all right. Yeah, anyway, but Darby's a lot, like, smaller or whatever. But that match was really, really good. I dug it. The gimmick from the top – or whatever, the crossroads from the top rope, that was fucking tight.
That thing Timberley was from across insane. The pond. One of the coolest spots I've seen in a really long time.
That was really sick. Josh?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know, like, we dissect things to an unhealthy degree. The fact that Cody Rhodes is starting to use Arn Anderson's moveset, now he has him as his manager, is a really nice touch.
Oh, yeah, with, like, spine busters?
But it's like the slams, but he put their arm behind the back, which is like a classic four horsemen sort of move.
Yeah.
Like, just little things like that. That's class.
Yeah. Cody was looking huge, and I texted Tulo, and I couldn't tell if that had to do – I was like, I don't know if that's because he's next to Darby, but I believe he put on some – he looks beefy. He definitely put on some weight.
For sure. He's huge. Yeah. He's definitely Jack, but it also helps that he's next to Darby.
Okay. Hikaru Shida and Nyla Rose. I got full disclosure on this match. I fell asleep during this match. It was no knock on the match. I have been up. So I literally was like, you know what? I got to close my eyes for a second. When I woke up, the Bucks were in the ring already. So, like, the match didn't start yet, so I was lucky. But I actually just entirely – I feel bad because it was the women's match. But it's the I've been up for so many hours watching election coverage.
It was actually a pretty solid match.
Was it good? I'm going to rewatch it.
Yeah, good storytelling, I thought, in the in-ring storytelling. But like I said, like, they got to a point where they should have ended it, and then they dragged it on a little bit too much, and it was not what we needed.
Well,
you know,
it was
like
14 minutes long, which was that's about middle. It's about the middle Cassidy was 9 minutes.
I don't understand what you do with Nyla after all this. Like, honestly, like, I mean, she's just been just decimated as a wrestler. Like, she's lost to Rio like how many times, and then now Sheeta being number one contender for
Dottie Adonis. What up, bro?
Dang. Hey, Nick.
yes.
I think Nyla might be doing like a face turn. Like, she didn't really react at all when Nikki slapped her.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Nyla was going to end up winning, but she didn't at all. And then right. Nikki went off on her. Not Nikki, sorry. Vicky went off on her. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where they were going with that.
Vicky,
so that's
why
I thought Nyla was going to beat the crap out of Vicky, but she didn't.
Me too.
So I think it's kind of like leading to a face turn. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense for them to have like that kind of long ending to the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem with AEW and their women's division is just
sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, I don't think any of that means anything. I don't think it's going to matter.
I think it'll get there. Like, you know, but yeah, I got to rewatch that match still. Hikaru Shida, though, she's the champion for a while. She seems really cool. I just don't know anything about her. Like, I don't. So yeah, you're like, why not? I don't know. Do anything to make me know who it is. Young Bucks versus the Revival. Young Bucks win the championship titles.
Right off the bat, I will say, if I haven't made FTR one of my guys, they are 100,000% one of my guys.
I don't know if you have. I mean, that's
easily.
Wow, that's huge. You got Biden. A little 46 in the sky. Hey, Josh, do you see over there? Do they show you? Do they show you like Biden's speech on UK TV?
Yeah, I've been watching it all. I've been watching it all. Like,
is that
all
easy to find though, or is it just on like BBC?
Yeah, it's on like it's on like BBC News. So right. You just put BBC News on, and I've got CNN as well on my TV, so okay. I can watch that. But BBC News has been covering it since Tuesday. Like, I've got nothing to do because I've got to stay at home because I'm in lockdown. So I've watched.
Yeah, you're
like,
in lockdown.
I've watched. I watched Trump have a full blown meltdown like every half an hour, which has been great.
I was just always so interested. All right, whatever. Let's talk about wrestling. I was actually just curious if how close it's the only thing that dominates everything here. All right, Young Bucks. So, I mean, Tulo, you like this match? The Tulo match? What did you think about this match?
Because
you
the pacing in the beginning was very off, but I knew in typical fashion that was going to be – it was leading to something bigger. So I was like –
it's the longest match of the night by far, 28 minutes long.
Yeah. I was like, what? I mean, man, this is slow. And then I knew they were going to work the ankle injury. You know what I did notice about tonight, though, is that many of the matches had injury components. It was like every single match was working on somebody's injury. That's what I felt like. But then once they started getting into that, like paying homage to all the tag team wrestlers, that whole sequence, it was, and then they were really telling the story. Cash Wheeler was flying around.
Oh yeah,
I can't believe he did a fucking springboard 450 or whatever it was. Like,
he a Kenny move. I mean, he did an AJ.
No flips, man. There are no flips. Just
I know, but it cost him though. Like he did, he broke the rule.
That's such cool.
And then he didn't
hit. They didn't hit, and it cost them. But, I mean, you knew that match was going to be awesome. It was no doubt about it. I think what's going to happen, I kind of hope they do it, is I kind of hope that Matt's so injured that they have to relinquish the titles. And then they set up a whole nother, like, tag team tournament and get the tag team back in. Get, like, the Lucha Bros involved now. Like, restructure the tag team division a little bit because it's went all over the place. And then have Matt, and then the winners face Matt and Nick at Revolution for the titles, you know?
Yeah, so, I think those are, well, I think the Bucks at the top of the tag team division will give it like, make it like, give it like that pyramid structure. Like they're like the elite, you know, like they're,
or
the,
don't relinquish the simple little thing. What are they called? In UFC, they have them, the temporary
interim
titles. Yeah. Make a tag team interim titles for until Matt and Nick can come back at, you know, and then you have that match at Revolution for,
why,
make
wait, it a lot. Are they really hurt?
No, but I'm just saying, like, if he's hurt, sell it. Like, it's perfect storytelling. Like, they took whatever it was, now they can't defend it. They're the champions. All right, we're going to set up who's going to be the interim champions and go from there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Donnie says, oh, Matt has a shoot knee injury.
Yeah.
I feel like out. I could tell, but I get worked by that. Yeah, but that match was fucking killer. The Bucks. I would have opened the show with this match. I think Young Bucks are still, they did it in New Japan every time. They always open the show, and I got really used to them opening the show, and I dig it. If they're not going to main event, it's a good idea. Though, I did like our idea of pacing it like a real fight card where
they had to backload
it. Because that Kenny Hangman was so silly to be at the front. All right, I got to talk about this match. This Matt Hardy Sammy Guevara thing was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's
did
atrocity.
Did you guys like this thing? It was the worst thing. I mean, it was so bad. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down if you liked it. Thumbs up, obviously, you dug it. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thumb in the middle.
All right. Not you. Two down. What do we have? Two down, two up, and one Batista sideways, still deciding. one Gladiator, one Joaquin. So it's kind of mixed. Listen, it was fun. Here's my beef with it. Okay. I get it if Matt Hardy doesn't want to be broken Matt Hardy anymore because he's maybe tired of it or whatever. That's fine. But you cannot do a half hybrid. I'm Matt Hardy, but I'm crazy deletion. Possessed by I forget the names of it, like Damascus or whatever, right? Like, and then we go, because we would buy it. We buy that, like, he actually he went batshit and he's in another dimension, and we're like, all right, this is nuts, but it's really fun. But if you're playing Matt Hardy, but sometimes you do the voice, and right, it's very confusing. So I found it to be like, cashing in Phil Pasapani. Yeah,
one thing. Right. What is the point of having Matt Hardy if he's not broken?
Did you give this match a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
A thumbs down.
Okay, thumbs down. Okay.
What is the point of having him?
All right, that's fine. That's from Matt.
In my opinion, what is the point of having Matt Hardy if he's not broken in AEW?
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I get it if he wants to, like, give it a rest, but, like, this is the thing I don't get about AEW. It's a big problem with AEW, okay? Is like they seem to, they don't tell stories properly. They're really like abrupt. It's really abrupt or like too much gray area where I'm like, play it big, play it for the back of the room. It's big theater, draw it out. Like, even for example, I love what they're doing with Hangman where it's like he lost and that tortures him. I have no confidence that they're going to even do that. You know, like, that they're even, I'm going to have to really extrapolate and give them a lot of leeway and a lot of assumptions to, like, actually make it be like, I think that's what they were going for. Because they're not as big of storytellers that they need to be, right? WWE is like, Arlen always says, WWE's 80% staring, you know? And you're like, that is, like, true. Like, you need moments, big revelation moments where you're like, what's going on in their head? And these guys are not doing that. They're like cool guys performing in front of the other wrestlers, and they need more theater, more big, more theater, more playing for camera, more staring in the lens, showing me that you're feeling something. This thing was just like all. I just felt like I don't understand what's going on with Matt Hardy, so I don't have my bearings on it. So it's like, I'll go with you if you are broken, Matt Hardy. Then great, get a monster truck, run him over, have it go crazy. But now it's like, is this a goof match or a fight? I don't know, but it was watered down Final Deletion, which no one needs. You don't need de-heightened final deletion. Why would anyone want that?
I don't even know what I fucking watched, man.
It just sucked. I mean, it wasn't edited well. It was
the
stupid.
Firework fights. I mean, what's
it was
going
like
on?
Embarrassing. Like, honestly, think about if your significant other walked in the room and saw what was on TV.
Well, I was watching like, with. I was watching
what
with someone.
Are you? I have to leave you. I have to leave you.
Yeah, it's
I have to
it.
Leave
We're
you
done.
Because this is the uh-oh. Oh my god, we gotta cash in. What's up, bro?
I think my camera's fucking flipped over. Point is, I think it was really good in terms of like they did it
better,
well.
Dude.
I should have. They did it well enough where they protected Matt and Sammy from actually hurting each other, and they still delivered somewhat of a spectacle of a match.
Okay. You know,
who gives a shit?
If they tried to do all of that in the ring, they wouldn't have been able to do it. They would have hurt each other.
Well, then if that my rebuttal to that is that, yeah, it's like three matches too late, you know, that then if that was the, you know, this felt like, hey, we never got to do what we really wanted to because of Matt almost dying six times, the first six times. So let's just tape it and throw it. Since we only do pay-per-views every 4 months, let's just tape it and then we'll just throw it into this pay-per-view because it was done. When
you know,
Sammy beat him the last time. So there was no business.
Like you're a little stupid, but you're actually
so
really stupid.
Wins.
So sometimes parents aren't what they are.
I understand
every week, but
it's fun. It's fun. So I get you. I get why you could like it.
Yeah. For
I just think like protecting Matt is something I'm not that interested in. Cause I'm like, Matt, I don't need you to take any risk. Nothing about what current day Matt Hardy for me is nothing that I like about him is him falling off of stuff. I don't need it anymore. I like that he's crazy and he plays mind games and he's like possessed by this devil and he has like cannon with his wife and Senor Benjamin and all that. I don't need him. He literally just did like 40 twists of fates, which is like the version of Matt Hardy I don't like. I don't
and
need
he
extreme.
Didn't show any of that story in the actual match. It was just, you know, glimpses at it. So that's kind of fair.
Right.
Yeah, it almost made it feel like
an outsider perspective.
I said it in the chat. I was like, this feels like Matt's only allowed to wrestle unless Reba's like overwatching, you know, like, I mean, like that's,
Reba
oh, you want to
read out that her backyard was on fire. Like
was she there
hours.
At the end? I think
she
I saw
the piano,
her.
Yeah.
She was there at the end, but she tweeted about it like a few hours, like before the actual thing came up.
So my backyard was on fire. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's it's very interesting times.
I really thought it was I thought it was really bad, but I also think Matt Hardy set it up for failure. Like literally, I remember being like the Elite deletion match. What I don't even know what that means. Like but going into it, they're like, let's go to North Carolina. I was like, why are they going to North Carolina? Oh, okay. And then I was like, all right. And then
we're going live to Emily and see what's going on in North Carolina.
They had a whole. They had an actual like broke the fourth wall moment. In there also where he's just like, oh, it's long-term storytelling, man. And you're like, all right, that only works if this is crazy. Like if it's crazy, but you can't be like, this is also just a real fight that's happening. Like, it was a mess.
Yeah. And a really terrible time for it on the card too. Just fucking, it honestly ruined the rest of the night for the other matches. It took all the steam out of the card. It sucked it dry. Like there was just like nothing left in it to just make whatever was after it. I was just like exhausted. I was like, oh man, I'm not even excited for this Moxley match anymore or this MJF match. You know, I was just like, I don't even care.
The other thing is I'm blaming Matt Hardy also, but Sammy Guevara is also to blame a little bit too, because he did like, he cut that like psycho. Remember he had like a package where he was like developing photos of Matt Hardy. Do you guys remember that talking about? He's like developing photos of him and like, I'm like the psycho killer. But then also he's like getting stooged out by MJF. So you're like, what? He's a little unclear in the role. So it just wasn't good. I don't know. I didn't like it. If you had fun watching it, I totally get it. Just from a storytelling perspective, it wasn't that great. MJF versus Wardlow. MJF versus Chris Jericho. Look, I don't think did anyone enjoy the actual match? Yes?
Very unforgettable.
Oh my god, who wants to go for all right. Phil Pest, what's up?
I just want to say that I didn't even know that match happened because I wasn't paying attention. So that's how much that match meant to me.
Yeah, do you guys – I have that sometimes where I zone out from a match and then I go like, did I just zone out because I'm tired of watching wrestling or did the match not take my attention?
I know. It meant literally nothing to me, and I literally didn't even know what happened until you just said that to me.
That being said, I like MJF winning. I like MJF winning. I'm interested to see him go into the inner circle. I love the way the match ended. I thought the ending was really funny. Like, really cool way to set the story going forward where it's like, he really cheated Jericho. So it's like, did you really beat me? You fucking, like, you shafted me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just like MJF being in the inner circle. Donnie,
you liked it. Like, dude, it's all good. You can like
– No, it's fine. No, it's – no, yeah. And, no, it's good.
There's the nice Jew.
Listen, there's good stuff about everything that happened tonight, but, like, they didn't do a good enough job of selling me to be interested. How I felt going into this pay-per-view is how I felt after it. I was like, I'm not really invested. I'm not caring enough about this. I was very excited about the Bucks and the Revival. But Donnie, after that, by the time we got to it, I was just like, all right, whatever. Like, I'm just sorry. Let's see the match, you know?
Yeah.
Can we get Josh in here too? I kind of want to figure out how everybody felt, like how
Josh,
the Jericho MJF match should have gone.
Josh, you're in.
All I was just going to say is I don't think the Jericho MJF match was that bad, but because it was so long and you were getting into like hour four.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. If that would have started the match, you would have probably had a laugh and go, oh, that was all right. Yeah, it was a bit of fun. But because long, I think that killed it.
I said going into this pay-per-view, I said, there's just too much. You got to just be careful. Like, don't – less is more with them. If you're only going to have one woman's match, then you can't have eight other men's matches. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, you got to – there's no need for extra matches just to fill up cards because you want to charge $50. Then charge $30 and make it a three-hour pay-per-view and get the fuck out of there. Like, stop filling this nonsense in and giving them 15, 20 minutes. It's just not good. It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, these matches were the only matches that were over 15 minutes were Darby was 17, Kenny Omega was 16, the Bucks had 28 minutes, which is by far the longest. And I actually don't know, the Moxley time's not up yet. I have a secret website that tells me the times, Wikipedia.
Don Hirschi's website,
yeah.
Point about the timing for the matches.
Yeah.
Is very valid, but I think that the MJF Jericho match, I don't know, I thought it was really, really good. If the rest of the pay-per-view didn't suck the life out of all of y'all.
I agree that I zoned out on it.
Enjoyed that match.
I think the placement of it really definitely hurt it. If it opened the show, I would have been way more excited about it. But let's talk about slot. Like, MJF's jacket didn't do what he wanted to do. He was trying to, like, parody Jericho. It didn't shine right.
No, I think he was trying to, you know, kind of insult Jericho and also pay homage to, you know, Ric Flair.
The idea was amazing. The lights just weren't bright enough.
Was like a big heel.
The lights just weren't bright enough, but we're agreeing. I think that's really awesome. MJF does everything. I mean, he's so deeply one of my guys. I worked out next to him in my mom's gym. I mean, what else can you say?
He's
literally booked from Plainview. It's where my mom lives. You know, like, I mean, like, how am I not going to like that? The guy has a Jewish star on his trunks. I mean, it's unbelievable.
One more thing about the pin. Yeah. Like, dude, Jericho loved that because Jericho would have done that if he could have.
Yeah, I felt the same.
Oh, I totally agree. He's going to respect it. That's my favorite thing about the MJF Jericho feud is that MJF does something that's classic heel to Jericho, and where you're supposed to get upset, i.e., give him a picture of yourself, right? And then Jericho respects it. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, that's fucking cool. Yeah, I would have done the same thing. I like that. You know,
I still can't believe that Judas effect that he gave on that guy.
That clown. That Judas effect on the clown. That clown would fly. That clown should get a contract, man. I mean, that clown should. But anyway, this match is more about the storytelling to begin with. Everything MJF does is more about storytelling anyway. So I think in that way, MJF being in the inner circle, I'm excited to see where that goes. That's awesome.
Yeah. You'll make it fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They'll make it fun.
Wardlow got dragged in too for free.
I know. I like that too. That was a curveball. Wardlow is confusing what his contract looks like. Apparently, he works for, not for AEW. He works for MJF. MJF pays his bills. The Inner Circle, though, they're an organization. I don't know if they're at all tied to AEW. But now Wardlow is in that also. I'm just curious what that
is. It's like, I don't work for comedians of wrestling. Yeah.
Shell company? Yeah.
I don't work for comedians of wrestling. I work for you, Dad.
Yeah. Right. And all you guys.
Which in essence is the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's round out the main event. I'm curious. John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston. Chulo, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go first here. Because you were texting me, you were hot takes galore over here. So let's. Well, what do we got?
That was the worst gear I've ever seen in my whole entire life. And you know what it was? You know what got me really bad was that he comes out like early on in the night, and they were asking the questions. He's got his 16 tag team stable with him, and. He looks awesome. He's got the bandana on, North Face. I'm like, Eddie Kingston from the Bronx or Yonkers, you know? And then he came out and he's got some stuff. All right, he's got the headband on and he just keeps taking off layers. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? No. Like the worst thing you could have possibly done. It was just so far away from championship gear. It's insane. I couldn't believe it.
It looked like a cheap green Power Ranger costume. You get it like the Halloween store.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly what it looks like, right? Like it was like, oh, he's Tommy, you know. His gear was fucking terrible. I mean, it was terrible.
It took me so out of the match. I couldn't get past the gear. Like I'm not even you like cut that clip, gear is so important.
This is like when you're dating someone where like there's one thing about them and you're like everything it's so perfect, man. The sex is so good and like
yeah, and then and, like, you go to her dad's house and her dad's cool. Flying a Trump flag outside the house.
yeah, but she loves Trump. Like she loves Trump. You're like. Like she gets me, like no one gets me, she loves Trump. You know what I mean? But she's like, she literally, she has four more years tattoo. I'm saying, dude, when it comes down to it, Eddie Kingston, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know either to make him one of my guys or never watch him again. Like I'm not sure what to do with him because
he quit. Like you just destroyed the man. Like you couldn't have destroyed it. And he quit. Like he said he wasn't gonna quit. He's never quit in his life. And we were trying to figure out like how are we gonna get out of this match without someone saying I quit. And he just said I quit.
That's fine. I'm fine. Okay. I'm completely fine with him quitting. Emily Scott in the mix, cashing in.
I think they've laid the groundwork for this. He was never thrown out in the battle royal, and he never tapped out when he and Moxley fought before. He's gonna find a way to weasel out of this.
He's like Trumpy. He's like, I never said I quit. Like there's video of him saying it, but he still says I never said that.
No, we
need a wrestler who does that. Who says that's photoshopped. It's a fucking. We need a conspiracy wrestler. He could be it because he can't actually wrestle. So that would be really great. Oh my God, he should wear a Trump suit.
He's so silver tongued. Yeah, he's so silver tongued. He can do that. Like he's
Believe me, I would never say I quit. I would never. Yeah. He was miming my mouth. Did you hear it? Here's the video, and the video is doctored. But you know, so here's the thing about Eddie Kingston. For me, okay. He is great on mic. He's a great storyteller. I cannot at all relate to someone who dedicated their life this hard to professional wrestling. Literally, he's like, I don't even have kids. I love kids. I dream about having kids every day, but I didn't do it for the sport. But then he just, like, eats Cheetos all day. I mean, this guy, I just don't relate to this personality at all. Like, you're going to, dedicate your life to this sport. And you have all the tools. I mean, he's a big – he seems like a big guy also. He seems like – and he – like, he doesn't put on any muscle. He can't even be fat-jacked. Like, you don't even want to be fat-jacked. Like, he literally takes off his shirt. He looks like a little weenie. I mean, he has a huge pot belly. I'm sorry. Like, listen, I'm just saying.
There's got to be someone backstage. Like, there's got to be someone backstage that sees him in that green fucking gear and says, "Nah, man, nah, this isn't."
He dressed like fucking Psychosis. He went out there. He's like, he like looked like Lucha, like fucking like Liger out there. Oh man, Phil Pasapani, smooth operator.
Isn't that kind of the problem with having a mark running a wrestling company? Where you have Vince McMahon, who's gonna look at this as a business, where Tony Khan's just like, just do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, it's such a great point.
I think there's problems. I actually think Tony Khan. I don't know anything about what Tony Khan's doing. One of the problems is that no one's giving Kenny and the Bucks proper feedback or direction. Like they need a director. Someone told me this one time. Like Eddie Murphy had someone, I forget who, when he was on SNL, who wrote everything for him. Like he had a guy he trusted. The guy was on staff just to be like Eddie Murphy's guy. I forget who it is. And like was like, I produce Eddie. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys need someone. They need to be like, Bucks, you guys are fantastic. People here are not going to be honest with you, so I'm going to do that. And, like, Trump falls into that same place. You could see he doesn't surround himself by people that hold him accountable, you know? He finds people who just tell him what he needs to hear. So it's dangerous. It's dangerous.
It's funny you say that. That's the vibe I was getting off that guy that was commentating on Kenny's match.
Don
the guy
Callis?
That's, like, the vibe I was getting.
He's the New Japan guy, yeah. And he also announced All In and... I kind of dig his announcing. I think you're saying he's deep in their pocket. Like those guys pay his bills, so yeah. But all that being said, his gear was fucking awful. I cannot make him one of my guys simply because of that gear. That being said, yo, I don't necessarily love Moxley's pants. We were talking about Moxley's pants. I don't love them. But I think they fit him. They're like, it's a good fit for him. You know, they fit. They're not what I would choose to rock, but they do fit. But, like, am I the only one? Like, when Mox enters, I have fun with that every time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think too. It's cool every time. And, like, the music is perfect. And, like, meow. I think it really works. And then also, I actually really liked this match, though. I got to be honest. It broke up the night because the night was kind of slow. It was slogging. And then we started seeing a bunch of color and tacks. And it was like, I felt like it was just kind of what we needed. You know?
Yeah, the rubbing alcohol spot was very funny.
Oh, my God. You guys, I was like, my God, he's cleaning his opponent's wounds. He's disinfecting his wounds.
What a nice guy.
Did you see Moxley had two tacks in his head? Or those just in his hair?
I also saw Bryce definitely handed Eddie something in the middle of the ring. Right. He was like literally went like this. He went like, "Oh God, I'm." He's like, "Just take it." And whatever it was that he put in his mouth, probably something like a capsule or some shit.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm into. I mean, Mox is okay. I'm okay with Mox in that gear just because it's this type of match. You know, like the more hardcore style matches, but. He needs – these are championship matches. I think he's got to kind of step up his entrances a little bit for his pay-per-views or something and if he's going to still be champ. But, I mean, his days are numbered. I mean, like big time. Like his days are numbered. Kenny's winning that title without a doubt.
So Kenny's going to take the title off of Moxley.
Moxley
coming out the end, his third appearance of the night, which, by the way, That's also sloppy. That's sloppy for Kenny to just keep coming out. Like, it made it when he comes out in the middle, he comes out at the end. I don't know what he thinks wearing the shorts like that. I just don't get it. Why not come out looking cool? I don't get it. But whatever. That being said, okay, from across the pond, Josh Timberley. Oh, I yeah.
I was just going to say, I want to play
like
talking about gear, you didn't talk about FTR's entrance robes, the white things. Right. They were amazing.
Those were
now
sick.
That's how you wear gear to the ring.
Yeah, FTR, see, there's clarity of character. Like FTR know who they are as wrestlers. They're very like literally to the point where they say no flips, and then when they flip it backfires on them. We're saying that. They wear like old school gears. I was actually like I was watching Arn and like Larry Zbysko match the other night, and like you're like, oh, they look like them, you know, like they look just like them. They're like enforced, you know.
Are you okay for cosplaying sports gear?
Is that what they were doing?
Yeah, it was Lakers versus Celtics. So we were trying to figure out if you're okay with it. If you're okay with it, because it's the Bucks. Because, you know, it's the Bucks are cosplaying sports gear.
Sports aren't exactly my thing, so.
Yeah.
So I didn't even notice. So.
I got to look closer at that again. Wait, no. I didn't see their entrance robes because remember I woke up when the Bucks were in the ring.
No, it wasn't the entrance robes. Their gear, the Bucks were wearing Lakers gear, and the.
Oh, I mean, FTR was wearing that's like fine. Celtics. That's subtle, man. That's like Rollins does subtle nods and stuff. Yeah, that's course, like just color schemes. That's fine. That's not cosplaying, bro. Literally. Johnny Gargano comes out in the fucking Wolverine costume with rips, like three rips across it. I mean, come on, man. Literally, Alexa Bliss came out dressed as Buzz Lightyear. I mean, that's completely different than that subtle nod to things people like.
Just wondering. Listen, the people want to know, so I have to ask you.
I sent you to deletion!
Right. Oh, Nyla's gear was definitely cosplay. Nyla's gear was Mega Man. You probably didn't even realize that because you slept in the match. So you missed all the cosplay.
I guess. No, I did see some of the match. I fell asleep mid-match. I took an 8-minute power nap. All right. Well, fine. Nyla Rose, she's off by one of my guys' list. All right. She's out of here, bro.
You didn't know?
but I think, like, yo. But Moxie kicks in. I thought they had a great fight. I like that he quit, and I love the booking from all of us to be like, say, I never quit when he did. A guy who's denying the truth is we need one of those. That we've seen it. Anything that is based in reality, we got to see that. Like, that's completely awesome. But, yeah, Kingston, I don't know what he's going to do, but Moxie Jericho, Omega, really excited for this feud. I mean, I think it's going to be really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be big time.
AEW, I think, this show, again, I don't care the show sloppy personally. It doesn't bother me that much. But, you got upset? You want to cash in? I see you getting upset. The thing is, I don't care about it because, again, I come from this place. I am a little bit of an apologist for it because I took WCW for granted. A little bit of an apologist because I took WCW for granted. I love having another company where these wrestlers who we saw them get buried in WWE, there was no place for them. There's no spots for them. Sometimes rightfully so. Because, look, not everybody can stand in the ring with Randy fucking Goddess Orton. God Orton and Drew McIntyre. Like, there's a place for those kind of fucking Adonises. You know what I mean? Like, there's a place for Donnie Adonis. There's a place for that. So I get it. So it's great to have this other outlet for it. So, and also, you know, I come from like a, you know, like a underground comedy background. So I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, this shit needs some work. 100%.
It's right there. I mean, I feel like after a lot of this stuff, I always keep saying like they're right there. I mean, it's all the pieces are there.
Too low. If the crowd was there, they'd be so hot, and you'd be like, they're loving this. So it's making it tough on them, and they don't get the. But ultimately, look, the show, I think the show was overpriced. I said it. You know, we said it from the start. I think the show was overpriced, and I think they're putting too much pressure on themselves to deliver a $50 show.
Less is more. Less is more. I'm telling you, man. If they would have just taken out the stuff that was in between there and really just – you didn't have to change anything except for the order and just take a little bit away. You have six really strong matches or seven maybe at the most, but just put them in the proper order and let the card build the way it's supposed to. That's a really great pay-per-view. But because of the way it was, there was points where it just pulled you completely out, and for the length of it, it's tough. But in,
you think
when you
they're
look
gonna
at
go
it,
for well, too low. Emily says the main title seemed to be migrating to the elite members. And you saw Kenny come out, hug them, so they're kind of like teasing. Like, do you think? And then Cody dropped the TNT title, so that I don't know if he's gonna be involved in that. I would think he might, you know. But do you think they go for a kind of like do like a kayfabe version of what people hated about WCW? Like these guys are jamming it up, and they kind of rebel against them for being at the top.
That's an interesting way. I mean, it's very on brand for what AEW would do, which is kind of just like putting their own spin on their way of doing things. So yeah, I could see it. I don't know. There's
Brandy,
it's very
the
stable
title.
Heavy.
You know, like they cheat to give Brandy the women's title, and then they just you know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, listen. If you want to get that, listen. For me personally, as a person, the way I follow
actually
have AEW,
Brandy's theme music, by the way. Sorry.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
For me, you want to get heat, that's a great way of doing it. Like, if they just started scooping up all the titles and we're like, oh, yeah, we run our own show and we have all the titles, I think that's – I mean, yeah, that's going to – that would be really intense.
Cash again, Emily Scott.
She's on mute still.
I know.
Hold on. You're off.
Okay.
Nope, you're back on. Back on mute.
Okay.
We're off.
Go.
I'm off. Okay.
Yeah.
This would also be the opportune time to actually not put the women's title on Brandy, but to put it on Britt, because you figure she was kind of the original women's wrestler in AEW. So she's not the elite, but she's kind of the original. So I think it's time to bring it back to her.
The big return to Britsburg. Yeah, Britt Baker is everybody loves Britt Baker. And if there's not enough women's like talent right now in the company to be moving the title around, have a title that's a huge character that can be fun and do like a segment, like 20 segments about why she's so awesome, you know, like that feels like the way to do it. If they don't feel like they have the depth for to have 20 minute matches with that division, then find clever ways to use your women talent the same way you do with the guys. Like Jericho and MJF get to make like fun, goofy segments more from Britt, you know. I think that's the way to do it. Anyway, I still think this – I enjoyed watching this. I did think, like, I wonder how much it hurt the card that, like, I literally was watching. Biden's speech was, like, longer than I expected and happened right when the show kicked off.
Yeah.
It was the exact same start time. So I wonder – it was, like, you know, it was kind of like – I had to, like, switch back into wrestling mode. Again, I don't know what they were thinking making this their go-home week for the show, especially when at Daly's place. It's at the same place they do their normal show. Why not make it after the election when people are, like – out of election mode. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what the thought process was there. But again, the thing that AEW does consistently that I have to say that NXT does not do for me, not that we need to compare them, and even WWE doesn't do this, is they always just, even if I don't like love the show as much, I'm always like, oh, I like to see where that's going. Like they do hook me in a little bit where I'm like, oh, I want to see where they're going with where is Omega Moxley feud's gonna go, like how they're gonna play that, and you know, so and like Jericho now MJF's in the inner circle, like what is that, like that hooks me like in a dramatic way, like in a soapy way that you kind of rarely get from the other products. Okay, cool. Anyway, any final words from you guys in the first beta cow? Hey, I don't know what the fuck this is called. I don't want to do it. Josh Timberley from Across the Pond. Should I keep saying that every time? Too bad.
Yes.
I want the Austin Powers too when you go. I'll do that.
That'd be great. I just want to say it's that late / early here. My wife is getting up for work.
Cheers.
That's great. All right, well guys, thanks for popping by. I'll post this on the podcast so you guys will be able to hear back your broken brilliance, and we'll see. I don't know what's the next AEW pay-per-view.
Let me tell you something. It can't go till 12 o'clock in the morning again. I'm like exhausted. This is crazy. I mean, it will work really. It work really good. After these
I'm telling you, move to LA, man. Wow. If you move to LA, the pay per view started. They start at 11 a.m. 11 a.m.
LA, bro.
It's a beautiful time. 11 a.m. It's gonna be great. All right, I can't help it. I gotta get that out of my system. All right. Any last words from anybody? I'll give you guys the last words. No, we're good. All right, everybody. Thanks for coming by, everybody. You guys are already patrons. So you listen to this, so thank you for supporting the show. And one last passion. What's up, bro? Donnie Adonis.
Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Okay.
Wow.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when